Every year we do a breakdown of the most important statistics for churches that you need to know. In this conversation, we're going to talk about the six that stood out the most to us this year. We hope this conversation helps you reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not much, man. Excited for our annual conversation we're having today. We're every year for the past few years, at least, we've done this one episode where we take our blog post about church statistics. This year we have one that highlights the 17 most surprising church statistics for 2023. We'll link that up here in the show notes. If you're watching on YouTube or down below, it'll be there too. We'll have a link over to that so you can see some of those things. But what you and I do is we grab the ones that stood out to us the most, and we don't tell each other what they are, so we can kind of get some live reactions and think through them a little bit and see what we think are the most important statistics for churches coming into this year, 2023. So I think it should be a good conversation, yes?
Absolutely. This is always a fun one and should be helpful to people going into 2023. Yeah, to give some things to think on and act out or act on.
Act out. Yeah, we can act it out too, I guess, some of these things. But I think that I do want to plug again that post. I read it and I was kind of going through some of that thing. I kind of worked with the team on building it, but I was pretty amazed at like some of the things that we uncovered. Some of these statistics, they're from all over the place. Some are from Christian groups that do surveying.
Yeah.
Some are from secular groups like Pew and Gallup and some of those places. But all in all, it's some pretty flooring stuff there. So we do encourage you to check that post out. But why don't we kick us off? You can kick us off, Ian, today. So you want to tackle the first one for us?
Yeah, first one, and I should note that I really was thinking about this. I bet Thomas would like this one, so let me choose this. I was trying to make sure we got in more, so we'll see how that turned out. But the first one that really caught my eye is that smaller churches are experiencing a higher turnover. And so that the reason that surprised me, as we've mentioned on this podcast, I'm a part of a very large church in the Austin area. Great church, very well led. But I've kind of, you know, seen over the years that, you know, in large churches where you have a lot of people on staff, sometimes you would think it's more common, you know, for there to be staff turnover at a larger church just because of the nature of it. And like I said, there's more people, there's more positions and things could be a little more fluid, I guess would be one way to put it. So this one stuck out to me that according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the annual turnover rate was 47.2% in 2021 and at smaller churches. And these would be churches of under 200 people is how this is counted.
I read that stat differently. So you're saying, I mean, because when I took a look at it, it looked like it was saying that that was the national average for all jobs. It seemed like churches were dramatically lower, right? But then But small churches were lower than the national average, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you got that right. And I guess I was going there is that basically that is what they were seeing as far as an unstuck group report. That's the source. Basically, I guess reported that in the church world, that smaller churches of under 200 were kind of seeing a higher staff turnover rate. So, but anyway, it said, according to Unstuck, that small churches have seen a 22% staff turnover rate, while congregations of more than 1,000, a 13% turnover rate. Yeah. So that was the source and kind of the size that they
I didn't choose referenced. That one, but I think that that was really, I was close to choosing that one. So good call on that. I thought about that one for a bit. So I wrestled with why that is. So again, it's 13% turnover, like so 13% of your staff at a church over 1,000 is going to roll over every year. So that's like one out of seven or eight, something like that.
Yeah.
People will be gone year over year. Versus 22% for a small church. That was the surprising part to me, that, you know, almost one out of four people are going to turn over every year at a smaller church. So if you are a smaller church of, it was under 200, so let's say you have four staff, that means one of you typically won't be here next year. Then, yeah, it's kind of what those numbers show. So it was surprising to me. I wrestled with why. I guess that smaller churches are more likely and probably more affected by kind of changes in finances and changes in the culture there, and they're easier ships to, they can pivot more easily in some ways. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? So I think that this includes, I think it made a point of saying this includes both people that were let go, people that had their own career change, some of that kind of stuff there. So I wrestled with why, but I think it kind of makes sense now that I think about it, especially when you think about that smaller churches, in some cases, it's good to be paring down your staff some.
Right.
And so I thought it was actually, in some ways, a positive. So
yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts as to why?
No, I mean, I think too that, I mean, you think of budget with smaller churches, maybe that, you know, they brought on a youth pastor and couldn't afford to pay them anymore. You think of some of those things maybe, but we've heard too, there's been trends of pastors becoming more bivocational, or, you know, maybe it's an associate pastor, not just the senior pastor, but the associate pastor that wants to be bivocational and out in the, you know, the secular arena, if you will, and doing ministry outside the four walls. And then they, you know, forego their, I guess, church, staff position as far as paid, to do that. So there's all those kind of multiple factors too, I think we've seen.
Yeah. There's a lot to it there. So,
yeah.
I think that was pretty interesting. So yeah, good call on that one, Ian. So, I actually chose, here's my first one, and it was the first one on the whole post there. So number one on the top 17 post, but it was a specific part of it. So here's what they found, is that one in five people are attending an online service at least monthly. And this is not people, I should say, one in five churchgoers. This is from Pew Research. So I thought this was really interesting. So one in five churchgoers are attending at least one service a month online. But here's the part that really surprised me. It said in that same study, 57% of churchgoers didn't go to church at all in a given month. So that was really surprising. So I don't know how you classify a churchgoer, if it's someone who, if it's people that don't go to either, this is either online or in person, they don't go to either of them. So it was kind of a strange way to put it. I guess they asked people to self-identify if you are a churchgoer or not. So, but it's just funny to me that there's this disconnect between people that say that I am a churchgoer, but in reality, 57% of the time, those people don't go to church or watch church online even. So it's not a matter of like, hey, they don't actually go. Like they just, they're not involved in on a regular basis with their church there. So, and I think we know, you know, there's Christmas and Easter type people that go to those services. And, you know, maybe that's where they classify a churchgoer and they think of it that way. But, you know, back to the first part. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, maybe they go three times the next month and they didn't go at all 1 month. And
some makeup like, attendance.
And I will say, too, one thing that came to mind, too, as a father, and you had this as well, of athletes, but particularly of a baseball kid, you know, that sometimes has tournaments and those things on Sunday that can make it challenging. They may be saying, well, we don't go for these 2 months, but then we're all in after that. I don't know. There's all sorts of, and we know that things have gotten busier, right? And you know, all of the extracurricular stuff has increased. So I think some of those things come into play these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was really interesting. But back to the first part again. So it found that one in five are going online at least once a month to watch a service there. So telling to me, you know, I think that as someone who is on staff at my church, having led several churches in my life, I guess I've been I've played different roles in different churches. Now with Reach Right, I'm only kind of in a supporting role at our church. But, you know, there still is, I think, in most churches, online as a second class citizen, right? Like, so it's like, yeah, if you, yeah, like, I still find myself wondering, oh, hey, where was so-and-so today when I'm at church? And again, I go to a church of a few hundred people, so I can spot everybody who's there. I know my friends who are there, who aren't. And I still am in that thing. And I don't ever really assume online. It's just, maybe I just know myself and I know that online is, in my experience, and again, this is not for everybody, as we'll probably talk about in more statistics, in my experience, online is not a one-for-one swap with an in-person experience on a Sunday. Teaching is somewhat similar, but I think the worship experience and stuff, just for me, it's hard to kind of find something that engages that way. But anyway, I was just surprised by this. I think it's eye-opening, and I would encourage our audience to not expect that to change over the coming years, that we're not going to see a move to see less people watching online. I think that will only grow. It did come down a little bit from the pandemic, obviously, but it's kind of leveled out at that 1 in 5 number, which is, I think, pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, but it also makes sense to me. I mean, I think that, you know, we're at a, even pre-pandemic, we were at a place where people were watching messages online, live or on demand. And so I'm not surprised by it, but I think it is interesting. I do think maybe that number has never been as large as it has been before. Maybe, you know, 1 out of 5, you said, right? So, I think it makes sense to me, but yeah, it's interesting. And I think it just is fitting moving forward. Like you just said, I don't think we're going to see that, go down, if I had to guess.
No, yeah. I can't imagine that.
Good. Well, next one here. I chose the 5th one in our post, which is inflation is impacting churches. I guess inflation has unfortunately been a hot topic, and everyone's heard about it. Everyone's feeling it to a certain extent with whether or not it's, you know, me, I'm a Texan. I like my meat. And when I go buy steaks or something now, I'm like, wow, this is a lot more expensive now. You know, we saw gas. We saw energy. My energy bill has gone up, all of that. So I say this, it is impacting churches. I think anytime we see economic challenges and changes, it will impact churches to a certain extent. But here's the interesting part, the statistic that stuck out to me is that last year, according to a lot of reports, church giving increased 3.6%, which is great, right? And we saw over the pandemic that giving increased. That kind of made sense a little bit, because a lot of people, that was the only way they could help their church, be involved, or, you know, impact their churches by giving more, because they couldn't show up in person or do as much in person. So that being said, you know, that's great news. That didn't surprise me. But the thing about it that kind of stinks is that it doesn't come close, that rise, 3.6, to the high inflation rates we saw in 2022, which is 7 to 10%.
Right.
So that's the thing, is that, you know, right when we get excited, giving goes up. Well, boom, here this comes. So again, it's not, doesn't have to be terrible news, but it will be something that churches need to take into account when budgeting, when projecting for what they're going to do and invest and how they're going to do their budget in the coming year.
Yeah. So what that amounts to, you know, my quick math, I kind of think in this way, is that it takes a 3% increase is actually more like a 5% decrease when you actually look at the purchasing power of what those tithes and offerings look like there. So the average church, the people that we're talking to, and you know, we work in this world, we help churches all day, every day. The average one of us is going through a 5% decrease in our purchasing power, and everything is going up. You know, we had to change some of our prices here at Reach Right on things that we offer. You know, all of our hosts, everybody's charging us more for all the stuff we have to buy for churches that we serve. So the purchasing power has gone down. So it is, it's telling. I think that it's easy to kind of let those numbers speak for themselves. Sometimes when it says, oh, we have a 3% increase, it's cause to celebrate. It really is also cautionary. So I think also as a church, if you're a staff member and maybe you've been thinking about, hey, it's time, there's inflation, I need a raise. Well, you probably do. We're not disputing that. We all probably do. But at the same time, our churches as a whole, we're seeing proportionally less income and less purchasing power from that in general. So I think it's just one of these tricky things. Whenever inflation happens, this is what kind of turns the economy on its head, is that there's kind of, we're trying to find that new equilibrium of how much should we be paying, how much should we be spending? And I think churches are not immune to that kind of a discussion there. So important one. Good choice. I didn't choose it. I thought you, surprised you chose that. I'm an inflation guy. I talk about it all the time. So
I know I thought you.
Maybe you're just trying to make a shorter podcast this time. You're trying to shrink it down and choose all the ones I did. But I've just 0 for 2 so far on that one. So
let's go. Let's go.
All right. So here's mine. It was number 8 on the list. And it is 39% of Americans say that they have a high trust for clergy. And that number is way down. And here's what makes it really important, is they compared it with other professions. So 39% of Americans say they have a high level of trust for clergy. The number for nurses, 89%. For doctors, 77%. And for teachers, school teachers, elementary specifically, 75% have a high level of trust for people in those professions. So that means that pastors, on average, are trusted about half as often as teachers, nurses, and doctors. So people are half as likely to trust clergy. And it's really telling. And I think, I'm trying to put my finger on it. I think it's because there are so many sensational stories, obviously, about impropriety, abuse, financial mistakes, embezzling, all these kind of things. And they're always very public when they're coming from churches, and nobody shies away from telling those kinds of stories. And you don't hear so much about, nurses getting involved with, whatever, about their personal lives and what happens there is often. With pastors, it's much more front and center, what your personal life looks like. So, it's not an excuse. I hate that. This is terrible. This is really bad news that we have gone from one of the most trusted groups of people, clergy, people that work in churches, to one of the least trusted people by Americans. So it's, we're better than lawyers. I guess we can say that. That's there's some positive here. We did better than some of those groups. But I don't know. It's just really telling and kind of, I think it's a new world that we have to consider this in the way that we're doing evangelism, in the way that we're reaching our communities. We are not operating from a place where people, we shouldn't expect to have the benefit of the doubt. In fact, we should have the opposite. We should have the benefit of skepticism is what they have. Like it's, they're people actually be skeptical, more likely they are to give us the benefit of the doubt if we're in ministry there. So I don't know, thoughts on that, Ian?
Yeah, and I think that mindset will help. The encouragement there's meaning if you understand that that's how people should feel, then, when it comes to evangelism efforts from your people, they should come at it. I think that the positive is that'll lend itself to people be exercising more humility in their witness, coming to it as a place where, no, my pastor's definitely not perfect either. I'm not perfect. My pastor's not perfect, coming to it from a level of humility and that, how even more can that place emphasis on God's holiness? So there's positives in it, and we're not here to give an evangelism lesson here today. But I think that also makes sense being in this post-Christian kind of era that we're in, that mindset would increase. And this is kind of funny. I think we almost went backwards because the one that I chose, my next and last one, was number 7 on our blog post that was right before this one, which kind of led to this. And so I think it's a good segue that confidence in U.S. major institutions has dropped as well. So basically confidence in government, news, banks, newspapers, the confidence in those institutions have dropped. And then here's the statistic that unfortunately only 31% of those surveyed by Gallup reported that they had a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in church or organized religion. So that lended itself to kind of the point you just drew. But I thought that, it wasn't like a mind-boggling statistic to me, but it was interesting. It just shows that I think in general, not just with clergy, but people are trusting any institution or major institutions, I shouldn't say any, but major institutions far less these days too.
Yeah, I think some of that is in the way they worded the question is my guess. Because like, if you ask me, do you trust organized religion? Like, well, no, not really. No. I mean, I believe the church is the hope for the world. But if you frame it like broadly, like, do I trust organized religion as a whole?
Yeah,
or religious institutions? No, I don't think so. So
I think it was phrased church or organized religion.
So. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, so I don't know. I think it, yeah, it's telling. I think the moral of the story with both of those is just that it's something that we're operating from a deficit now and not from a place of advantage. The era of the Bible Belt, even in southern cities or red states, if you want to call them that, where we assume that it's different. And obviously there's regional difference, you know, trying to, you know, asking people in Portland, you're going to get different answers from asking people in Georgetown, Texas, where you live, right? So it's going to be a different beast. But anyway, I think it's telling, though, both ways. I think that it's something that we need to be really aware that people are operating from a place of distrust of you, and we need to break down some of those trust barriers if we want to be received with the gospel. So
indeed,
good stuff. But all right, last one. We didn't have any sames, so sorry to...
We didn't.
Oh, for three, Ian, trying to shorten the podcast this week. But
I think
here's
this
mine.
Proves I wasn't.
There you go. That's probably what it was. Number nine is the one that I chose from the other post. It's 46% of pastors under 45 years old are considering quitting. 46% of pastors under 45. I guess I would fall into that category. That's me. I'm still a pastor within my church. I do a lot of communications things there now, but I've pastored for years. And I guess you could say that I've quit churches as well. I've stepped away from churches, all for good things and for good reasons to pursue what we were called to do here with Reach Right and some other changes. Yeah. I've left churches before, but you know, I never really considered it like leaving the ministry. We see this as a ministry that we get to do, but I thought it was interesting. So there's a generational difference here. So pastors under 45, it's at 46%. Pastors over 45, it's at 34%. So not an enormous difference, but it's a sizable difference between those two age groups there. I am disappointed by this too. Like it's like, I get it. Like, so I don't really fault anybody for after prayer and kind of taking a look at things and like kind of sensing the Holy Spirit to step back from ministry. I mean, so I'm someone again who has made some major changes that may have seemed like stepping back from ministry. And I get that. I remember what it was like when you and I were pastoring a church together. Yeah. I was planting a church and we closed it down. And I had to step away from ministry for a season, knowing that it was temporary. It wasn't just leaving the ministry. But I remember the challenge, the heartache, the disappointment, the unfulfilled kind of dreams that were kind of like left standing after all of that there. So I remember that feeling, and I don't fault anybody for having that same kind of experience. But I do think it is just sad that this is the place that we're in. I don't know what to attribute it to, whether it's, I think the pandemic did a number. I think there's all kinds of financial challenges, especially that people under 45 are facing that maybe a generation ago, they didn't have, that wasn't quite the same. Some of the financial, there was not to say there wasn't financial pressure, but 25 years ago, the financial pressures in the mid to late 90s were just different from what they look like here today, I think. And so I just think that there's I get it. I understand why this is the case. I think that it has to do with some of the other stuff we talked about, just that there's less trust for pastors. People don't really believe in organized religion or the church the way that they used to. So you don't have like that social benefit in a lot of cases. Right. In a lot of ways, it's a social disadvantage to be a pastor. Yeah. If you aren't aware of this, just do a little experiment. Get on a plane and tell the person sitting next to you, hey, I'm a pastor of a church, and see what they do. That'll be a good test for you to see.
You're exactly right, because my pastor travels a lot, travels the country a lot, speaks, does other things within our denomination and all of that. And he's told some interesting stories about when someone asks, a lot of interesting comments. He's had some adventures on planes, but
I would guess that about what was the number? I forget the number you chose for that, but it was something like 40 or 50%. Half of them are kind of like, well, get away from me, weirdo. And then the other half or maybe are, well, it's really great. And they want to talk more about it. So anyway, I think that there was a time, you know, 25, 30 years ago, that wasn't the case. And people universally, they trusted clergy, they trusted pastors more. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to the poor pay that most people get that are in ministry, they at least had kind of that social standing in their community where people really respected them and looked to them as a leader in the community. And that was kind of an extra thing that kind of it was a great part about the job, and some of that's going away. So that's just speculation as to some of the reasons, some of the things I think might be the case. But I wanted to offer an encouragement to those of you that are on the fence on that kind of stuff. Again, I don't fault anybody for making that life decision to, especially when it comes to you have a family to look after, and if there's things that are just not working, sometimes it's sometimes it's absolutely the right thing to do to step away from ministry. It is. You cannot say there's a universal rule that it's always bad to do that. In many cases, it's the exact right thing to do. So I want to encourage you with that, but at the same time, remind people that it's there are seasons to this too. And I have been in that season as well, where we really wanted to quit, and God had great things right around the corner when we were obedient and didn't quit. And I'll be praying for some of them in our audience here that that would be, there's someone in our audience that that's the case, that they're that you're tempted to quit. But if you hold on a little bit longer, it's right around the corner and God has great things for you. So I don't know which category you fit into, but it's something that I think is really, really important.
No, that's encouraging, Thomas. Not much to add. I think it's a balance. Like you mentioned, I mean, you know, you don't want to be burnt out and hurt your congregation, your members, your family, your household. Those are times where it might be a good time, but it might be also, like you just said, hang in there, always seek the Lord on it. And we know that he's faithful to give that type of wisdom, especially when it comes to people carrying out his mission. So let that be an encouragement.
Awesome. Yeah, good stuff. Well, good. Yeah, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I know we tend to choose like the pessimistic stats because they're the ones that stand out the most. And I don't know, it's maybe just we're a rebukey kind of people, I guess. And we like to look at those stats. But I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I hope you can find encouragement. I said it before, you know, while we may not have the level of trust that we used to, I definitely believe that the church is the hope of the world. And that God has promised and will use his bride, use the church to accomplish his mission here on the earth. And so we are so thankful for you as our audience because we don't take that lightly. We know that you lead these organizations that God is going to use to usher in the kingdom of God here on earth. And so we're so thankful to you, our Reach Right family. Thanks for tuning in each week and listening to this online or on your phones, or if you're watching on YouTube, thank you guys for being a part of our Reach Right family. If this is helpful to you, it would mean a lot to us if you would subscribe, rate, review, do all those kinds of things. It helps the algorithm kind of boost us and get it out there to more people, guys. So thank you for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we hope to catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ready to get fun.